Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today is Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas. And there's just so much hustle and bustle, so much activity, so much going on. Or we're living alone, or our friends and relatives can't come together with us, and we feel very lonely. Whatever our circumstances are, God is with us. He is right here, now. He's right with you. Come quickly, we pray, Lord Jesus. Do not delay, that those who trust in your compassion may find solace in relief in your coming, who live and reign with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. We want to pray too, don't we, for those who don't acknowledge God, for those who have no time for God, for those who perhaps will not enter into eternity. Those who die will die forever. We do not want to be part of that. We don't want to say, oh, well, God knows. God may know things in your heart that you don't wish he didn't know, but he does know you. He knows you through and through, and he loves you. He loves you beyond price. Do you know if you were the only person here, God would have died for you? Really, it's true. God would have died for you. So he was born for you. He wasn't born just for masses and masses of people. He was born for each one of us. And we're entering in very closely now to his birthday. We want to adore him, worship him, thank him, and bless him for what he has done for us, and open our hearts to receive him even more. The second book of Samuel, chapter 7, tells us when King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies on every side, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God dwells in a tent." Nathan answered the king, "Go, do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that night the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, "Go tell my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? It was I who took you from the pasture, from the care of the flock, to be commander of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went. I have destroyed all your enemies before you. I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them as they did of old, since the time I first appointed judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. And when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. I will be a father to him. He shall be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever." Listen to the goodness of God, the desire of God to serve his people that came through his saints, came through many of his leaders. People chose to believe in him, and it was hard. It is hard. You can't see him. Your senses can't experience him. But he's here. He's right here. And that's not a myth. Some people say, oh, that's just for kids. Well, it's not. It's the truth. I am a child of God. Hopefully, I will always be a child of God, that I may be welcomed into his kingdom. And that's where you and I need to be on this 24th, when he became flesh, when he became flesh to save us for eternal life. You want to be in a place both to thank him and to glorify him, and then to choose to live according to those words, according to his commandments that will lead you and your families closer and closer to God himself. Psalm 89 today tells us, "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. I will sing forever. My mouth shall proclaim your faithfulness. My kindness is established forever. In heaven you have confirmed your faithfulness." God is forever good to us, forever kind, forever faithful, forever seeking to draw us closer to himself. But he gave us free will so we could choose otherwise, to our detriment and eventually to our despair. We want to choose him in every way. No, you don't save yourself. You do not save yourself. Only God saves us. Put your hand into his heart. Jesus said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, forever will I confirm your posterity and establish your throne for all generations. That's what God wants to do for us. He shall say of me, you are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. Oh, brothers and sisters, forever I will maintain my kindness toward him, and my covenant with him stands firm. Let us thank God for his desire to serve us, his desire to lead us, and to lead us to eternal life. Let's choose today to follow his word, his voice, his commandments. We can have so many immediate pleasures here on this earth that we tend to think, oh, that's all that matters. Whatever happens to me now is all that matters. But it isn't. What God wants to prepare for us is an eternal life where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death anymore. That's what God wants to do for us. But he's asking us right now in our lives to trust him, to desire to follow him. And on this Christmas Eve, it would be a wonderful time to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I want to become a disciple of yours. I want to follow you. Will you teach me? Show me the way to go. I don't know what to do. Ask your parish priest what are some good books to read that would draw you closer to him. Don't just get caught up in all the partying. It's all wonderful. Do it. I'm not saying don't have parties and don't have fun. Do those things. But don't let that be an end. What God is looking for is that we become more thoroughly, more completely, more fully his disciples. Because I guarantee you, it brings a joy that no one will take from you. It does. Following him, even if it's doing things that seem difficult and are difficult, you find an inner joy because that's what we're made for. We're made to glorify our God and to be with him forever. Don't be afraid. Step out. Ask God to help you, and he will draw you to himself. I promise you that. Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. Zechariah, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, that's John the Baptist's father, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. I know there are many times that seem dark to us, many times that we can feel as though we're in the shadow of death, but turn to him who is the light of the world. So what John the Baptist came to do was to lead us to Jesus. Hear him, hear his cry, and obey it. It's not just a tale from centuries ago. It's touching our lives right now, in this year, here in the United States or whatever country we're in. It's hitting us right now. He is our Savior. Cling to him, turn to him, Ask him to draw you closer and closer to himself, and he will do it for you. He will do it for you. There's a wonderful little article by a woman by the name of Carol Houselander, who died in 1954. She was a British poet. She was an author. She was a great spiritual teacher. And I want to share this with you. You may know the name Carol Houselander for other things that she has written, but I want to share this with you. Peace is Christ's culminating event. At his birth, the angel's song mingled with the first bleating of the Lamb of God, promising peace to God's friends. On the night before he died, his own promise comforted his apostles. And when he had risen from the dead, his first words to them were, "Peace be upon you." How is it then that peace is so rare, even in our soul? It may be because we lack the courage without which true peace is unattainable, and with or without which the pseudo-peace we have built up in our imagination is unattainable. The condition of peace is courage, but the moments in which we most long for are those when courage seems most difficult, when all that we want is to loosen our hold, to throw off responsibility, to rest. We want not a sword, but a lap big enough to bury our head on. It is comforting then to realize that the courage peace demands is in fact to relax, to throw all our care into the lap of God. It means that we must take the risk of trusting God's love, believing Christ's word, loving one another. A child knows no anxiety if he knows himself to be loved. He has no mistrust or suspicion. His values are true. He loves things, but he loves them not for what they cost, but for what they are. Poverty may come. The child knows his father will provide his happiness. Pain may come. His mother's hand will take it away. He is not worldly because he lives in a secret world of his own. No one can take his kingdom from him because it is not of this world. Advent is closing, and the longing of the church for light and for the spring, the budding forth of the Savior, is culminating. It's culminating in this mystery of Christmas. And we can put aside our cares to make the house of our soul ready for the child, with prayer as simple as a folk song rocking the cradle of peace to the beating of the human heart. Trust him, brothers and sisters. Make an act of trust if you go to midnight mass tonight. Make an act of trust tomorrow on Christmas Day. Make a pact with God. Ask him to help you. Tell him what's wrong. Tell him what is lying heavy on your heart. Tell him what your needs are. Ask him to help you. And I promise you, sometimes it comes from something you pick up to read and you go, "I never thought of it that way." Sometimes it's what someone says on the radio or the television. Not very much, but sometimes it's there as well. Who knows how God will choose? It's not that he comes down from heaven necessarily and appears right in front of you, but he's there fully with you, and he wants to hear you and answer you. May God bless today and tonight. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.